Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Golf Talk Live. I'm your host, Ted Odorico. Got a great show for you tonight. It's going to be a little bit shorter than normal. I'm editing it down a little bit tonight, giving you guys a bit of a break. Basically, what happened was the Coach's Corner is not going to take place tonight. Some of the panelists, unfortunately, were not able to keep their commitment due to some other traveling issues and so forth, so we decided to edit a little bit short. But I got a great show for you anyways. Just before I bring on my guest this evening, introduce my guest, let me just remind everybody, of course, the show is live every Thursday evening, normally from 6 to 8 p.m. Central, 7 to 9 for those of you on the East Coast, and of course 4 to 6 for those of you on the Pacific Coast. We're going to be probably about an hour broadcast tonight, so it'll be basically from 6 to 7 Central or 7 to 8 Eastern Time. And of course, the best way to find us is go to blogtalkradio.com. /Golf Talk Live is the direct link, but if you can't remember all of that, just go to blogtalkradio.com, up in the search key, type Golf Talk Live, and that will get you there as well. And don't forget, if you're not able to join us live, not a problem. All of the shows, of course, are live during the regular broadcast, but they are auto-recorded as well. So if you can't tune in during the live broadcast, not an issue. Just go to the link that I just mentioned, and you can scroll down into the on-demand section and get the show at a later time when it's convenient for you. But for those of you tuning in live tonight, thank you very much. I've got a great show, as I mentioned. Coming out here in just a moment is a gentleman that's been on the show actually before. He was on, I think it was about a year or so ago. He is a journalist, speaker, and author, Mr. Joel Zuckerman. I'll bring him out in just a minute after I read out the intro. But also let me just remind you a few other things while I've got you here. If you want to call in anytime during the live broadcasts on Thursday evenings, you're welcome to do so. You can reach me here at area code 646-716-4667. Or you're always welcome to email questions or comments about the program to ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And I always, as you know from past experience, I always update the shows via social media. On Facebook, just go to facebook.com/golftalklive blog. Make sure you have blog on there, and you'll see all the updates for the shows there, who's coming on each and every week. And also, while you're there, if you haven't already done so, I'd appreciate it if you like the page. You can also follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Ted and Buck CEO, and CEO is in capital letters. And thank you for all of the new and recent followers there as well. As I mentioned, I've got a great show this week. I'm going to have basically two more shows before the end of the year, next week and the week after. And then we're going to have a couple of weeks break, obviously, to observe the holiday. And then we'll be fired right back up again the first week of January with both programs. The Women of Golf, of course, every Tuesday morning with LPGA professional Cindy Miller and myself. We'll be coming back on January 5th with that show after the holiday break. And then a couple days later on the 7th, I believe, is the Thursday, we'll be starting back up, of course, with Golf Talk Live. As I mentioned, my special guest tonight is Joel Zuckerman. And let me just tell you a little bit about Joel, and I'll bring him on. Joel, of course, is now based out of Savannah, Georgia, as well as Park City, Utah. He's a native New Englander. Joel Zuckerman is the only two-time winner of the Book of the Year Award as bestowed by the International Network of Golf. Golfer's Guide magazine referred to him as one of the Southeast's most respected and sought-after golf writers. Legendary golf course architect and World Golf Hall of Famer member P. Pete Dye exclaimed, Joel is a wonderful writer and a great friend. Zuckerman has 8 books to his credit and on the 9th one in the works. His lively speaking engagements are in demand by corporate groups at country clubs and on cruise ships. And his course reviews, player profiles, essays, and features have been seen in more than 100 publications internationally, including Sports Illustrated, Golf Magazine, Continental Magazine, Sky Magazine, Travel and Leisure Golf, and of course, Golf Connoisseur, Golf Week, Estates West, Millionaire and Golf International, and many, many more. Without further ado, let me bring on Mr. Joel Zuckerman. Good evening, Joel. Welcome to Golf Talk Live.
Wow, my resume is way too long. I think I have to cut that down.
Yeah, well, you know what? I wanted to get as much out as I could, and I don't have a problem in doing that. And glad you were patiently waiting in the wings. Joel, I wanted to do something. I know you wanted to come on and talk about your new book, but before we get into that, as I mentioned in the intro here, you've got a whole myriad of other books. Let's just sort of take a short walk through some of your other publications that you've printed. And just to remind those that maybe aren't familiar with some of your work, let's talk a little bit about them, and then we'll get into your new book.
Sure. What would you like to know, Ted? I'm happy to go through the whole au revoir.
Well, let's do the whole au revoir. It sounds good. You released your first book back in the spring of 2003 called Golf in the Low Country. Tell us a little bit about that, maybe some of the inspiration, and basically what the book is about.
All right. I'll give you a quick bullet point. I was the golf writer for many years for the Carolina Morning News on Hilton Head. And I would write player profiles of local renowned players, course reviews, essays about the game. And then I decided I wanted to write a book, but I didn't want to actually write the book. I figured I'd already written the book over the course of 3 or 4 years worth of columns.
Right.
So I put it all together and published a book in 2003 called Golf in the Low Country, which is a very unusual look at golf in the Hilton Head, Savannah area. By the way, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay, good. I'm at a party. I'm going to try and close the door here.
Not a problem.
When you called me and told me that we're going to go a little, an hour earlier, I kind of forgot about this obligation. But
So
Golf in the Low Country was a book about Hilton Head, Savannah, and all the courses and the interesting people there. Couple years later, I turned the same trick when I wrote a book about Charleston, South Carolina. Nobody had ever written a book about the Charleston golf scene. So I did the same thing, course reviews, player profiles, essays about golf itself. And the Charleston book had some cool people from Charleston that I wrote about on the golf course. Beth Daniel, the World Golf Hall of Famer, is from Charleston. Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish.
Yeah,
and that was another pretty successful book. Then I wrote a couple of humor. Go on.
Right. What I was going to say to you is what's interesting about that is, you know, most people, when they think of that area in the East Coast, of course, they think of Myrtle Beach and a lot of the great tracks there. But there's a lot of areas, a lot of great courses outside of the immediate Myrtle Beach area, which, of course, you've written about in your books.
Well, you know what? You're exactly right, because Hilton Head is a big-time golf destination. Myrtle Beach is a big-time golf destination. But nobody had ever sniffed Charleston as a golf destination. And so I wanted to go there and explore what was happening. And I wrote a nice book that went over very well back in 10 years ago, 2005. Then I wrote two humor books called Misfits on the Links and then A Hacker's Humiliation. And I'll start plugging immediately. Everything is still available at vagabondgolfer.com.
Right.
So those are two nice projects, kind of smaller scale projects. And then I was very lucky that Pete Dye's family hired me to write Pete's 50-year career history, which is my biggest book to date. It's called Pete Dye Golf Courses, 50 Years of Visionary Design. And I'm very fortunate. You know, there's 1,000 members of the Golf Writers Association, and the Dyes pulled me out of the hat, the rabbit out of the hat for me.
Right.
Needle out of the haystack. That thing could have gone to any dozens and dozens of as qualified or honestly far more qualified writers, but the Dyes chose me, and I won my first Book of the Year award, and that thing was a huge seller. That's probably the biggest selling golf book of the last 10 years, I'm guessing. Then the financial crisis hit, and everything went away. I thought I had written my last book. I like to say I thought the curtain had fallen on my book writing career, but it turned out to be the intermission. It turned out to be the intermission. So I got a book out in 2011. I was hired to write a book in time for the PGA Championship at Kiawah. That Rory McIlroy won, and that was called Kiawah Golf, the game's elegant island. And then when you and I first spoke a couple years ago, I had come up with this unusual book about some of the best club pros in the country. That's called Pros Pros, Extraordinary Club Professionals Making Golf Great. I wrote a book about 30 of the best club pros in the nation, who they are and how they got to the top and the trials and tribulations of their careers. And that won me my second Book of the Year award. So that brings us up to date, except for the new book, which was just out last week.
Right. And yeah, we'll talk about that. Yeah. And it's interesting because I remember when you came to me with the first book and I thought, well, that's interesting because, you know, we always hear about, you know, we always hear books or we see articles not written on a lot of the, you know, PGA or LPGA members that play on the different tours and so forth. But you don't really hear a lot about some of the club professionals that are out there and some of the great things that they've done, because they're kind of in the public eye, they're kind of behind the scenes, that everybody knows that there is such a beast, if you will, and that they work very closely with a lot of the players. But it was very honorable of you to do that, to bring a number of them to the forefront and really let people know a little bit more inside about them.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. The impetus of that book came from one very simple, stark realization, and that is the fact that he's no longer on the throne, but for many years, Tiger Woods was the world's most popular athlete, most dominant, most recognized, most transcendent athlete. Never happened before. There's never been a golfer that was the most, even when, you know, Arnold Palmer was at his heyday, he was eclipsed by Mickey Mantle. He was eclipsed by, Muhammad Ali. So Tiger, for a period of 5, 6, 7 years, was the world's most popular athlete, but people were not playing more golf. Golf was not growing, even though for the one time in history, the top athlete in the world was a golfer. So I theorized that if the most popular athlete in the world is a golfer and people are still not going to play golf, the game continues to shrink.
Right.
Phil's not going to do it. Rory's not going to do it. Spieth's mania doesn't have much of a shelf life. I figured that the only way to get golf to resurrect is through the club professional, because they inspire, they instruct, they encourage. And so I set out to find 30 of the best club professionals nationwide and wrote about who they are and how they got to the top of the profession. And it was a very unusual book. And won me my second Book of the Year award. Very proud of that project. But now we're on to the next thing.
Yep, exactly. And your eighth book, as you mentioned, of course, is really one of a kind. And I really like the title of this, because it really, emphasizes what golf does in giving back. And you got it right in your title, Golfers Giving Back, Exceptional Charity Tournaments Coast to Coast. And what I like about that is a lot of people don't realize, obviously people that are familiar with golf understand this, but golf is probably the one sport or game, however you want to phrase it, that does more and gives back more through to charities than I think any other sport on the planet. And a lot of people don't realize. I mean, there's tournaments all over, not just the United States, but all around the globe, each year that do some great work in helping out charities. And it's probably, as I said, the number one sport or game on the planet for doing that. So let's talk about...
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. So before we get into that, let me give myself a shameless plug.
Sure.
And give your readers a chance to do some two-for-one holiday shopping.
Perfect.
So go to the website. Real simple for anyone listening. Golf Give Back. GolfGiveBack. GolfGiveBack.com. Get a copy of the new book. It's on sale. And I'll throw in a $60 pair of sunglasses with your $32 book.
Wow.
And I'll do that for the first 10 first 10 orders I get. So my new book, Golfers Giving Back, is a $40 ticket. We're selling it on my website. It's the only place you can get it for, I think it's $31.95. And I will throw in a $60 pair of Tifosi sunglasses as a gift for the first 10 purchasers. That's golfgiveback.com. All right.
Dot
I apologize.
Com.
I'm sorry. I apologize for the pitch.
No, that's fine. That's fantastic.
No, I don't really apologize. Come on. That's
no,
why I'm here.
Hey, that's right. That's exactly right. let me ask you this. First off, and I think I kind of have the answer, but what prompted you first off to write this book? What was the idea?
Well, I have to admit, if we're gonna have full disclosure here, because I like to tell the truth, and one of the reasons I like coming on your show is there's a little time to expand. A lot of radio
sure.
spots I do, TV spots are 5 minutes, 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Can't get deep into it. So here's the fact. Here's the fact. A buddy of mine suggested that I do prose, and I'm going to say that my last two books, very unusual books, Prose, and now Golfers Giving Back, were ideas given to me by others. And while I'm fully deflecting any creativity or brain power I have, I am
right.
lucky enough to say that at least I have fans or friends or people who know what I do who suggest ideas to me, right?
Sure.
So I get a dozen book suggestions a year. You should write a book about this. You should write a book about that.
Yeah.
And I reject almost all of them. But occasionally they resonate with me. So 3 or 4 years ago, a buddy of mine said, you should write a book about Bob Ford. This guy used to be an assistant pro at Oakmont. And the book that I thought about writing about Bob Ford expanded into what became Prose.
Right.
So on that same theme, I get an email a year ago in September from a friend. He goes, hey, I need a copy of Prose. I'm going to play in a charity golf tournament this weekend. I want to give it to the pro. By the way, you should write a book about charity golf tournaments.
Right.
And it immediately, I didn't have to think about it. I knew in my bones it was going to be a home run. I knew that no one had ever written about charity golf. I didn't
right.
know much about charity golf. And I knew that the tournaments themselves would love to be featured in one of my good-looking, hardback, you know, Class C books.
Right.
So I was given that idea, I think it was September 25th of 2014, and I had advanced copies in hand on September 26th of 2015, 366 days later to conceive it, solicit, interview, write, edit, print, bind, ship, and publish. So it
wow.
was quite the year-long journey.
Yeah.
And it's a really lovely book. So before we get into, I want to tell you some things that will knock your socks off and your audience about charity golf. But before I do, let me quickly say, go to golfgiveback.com and check it out for yourself. And first 10 orders, I'm going to throw in $60 Tifosi sunglasses with the order of the new book. So here's what nobody knows about charity golf. There's 140,000 charity tournaments in this country every year, 140,000.
Wow.
And when you talk about making money for charities, I mean, think about it. What other sporting event is there? There's an occasional three-on-three basketball tournament. There's an occasional fundraiser, darts or bowling or softball,
yep.
right? We've heard of them.
Yeah.
But for every softball or darts or bowling event, there's hundreds of charity golf tournaments. Hundreds
yep.
and hundreds. And, you know, why is that? There's a lot of reasons why. And you can figure them out.
Sure.
Golfers tend to have more money. They're more affluent. It's a good way for a charity to make an impression all day. Oh, and you know what the other? There's only one thing that's remotely close to golf tournaments. Road races, right?
Right.
Every weekend in every city, there's, you know, a 5K or a 10K to raise money. Susan G. Komen, whether it's for the local school or the local hospital, there's a lot of running
right.
events.
But sure.
it's not the same thing because those things
no.
cost $20 or $50. They last an hour. you get a banana and a t-shirt, and you go home sweaty, and that's it.
Yep. That's why I play in the tournament.
But the golf tournament is a whole different thing because you're there for half a day, in some cases the full day, and you can really make an impression on the audience at a nice upscale, or even not even doesn't have to be upscale, just a heartfelt charity golf tournament. So there are literally 140,000 in the nation every year.
Now, you obviously didn't write about all 140,000 of you. You wrote, I think, if I remember correctly, there's about 50-plus that you wrote about.
Yeah,
how did
55.
How did you come to the selection of which tournaments you were going to sort of feature in your book? And did you have to travel a lot to cover it? Or were you able to get some of the stuff over the phone type of thing?
No travel. I did it all from the comfort of my office. How did I do it? How did I even start? That 366 days was such a whirlwind, I can't even think about it. What was my first event? Who knows? The first thing I did, I guess, was probably send an email to all 30 of my pros from Pros, and ask them what they knew. Then I put out a notice to a bunch of my golf writing buddies, and I just started to network. What charity tournaments do you know of in your city? Because I know people in my business in nationwide, and I just started putting out feelers, and slowly but surely I found a list. Now, are my 55 events the best events, the most well-attended events, the ones that make the most money? Not necessarily. Some make a lot of money, some don't. Some are some have been around for 54 years old,
right?
But they're just like the title says, exceptional charity tournaments coast to coast. So I'm happy to tell you about some of them.
Sure.
Or several of them, whatever you want. But how did I find them? I shied away from the PGA Tour. I wasn't interested in writing about PGA Tour pro-ams.
Right.
I wasn't interested in writing about the Michael Jordan Celebrity Classic or the, you know, any big-time corporate event. I was interested in grassroots events.
Someone who lost someone or had someone who was sick or ran a hospital. And we're going to switch over here. I just got to my vehicle. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
I just got a transition from my ear to my car, so I hope you can hear me all right.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So the book is a combination, it's an amalgamation of children's hospitals, military benefit events, battered women's shelters, memorial events for people who died, whether they were babies or preteens, or adults who died too soon. I'll tell you one of the most interesting chapters in the book. George Archer won the 1969 Masters. He's a name that you probably know.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Archer, you know, played in the Nicklaus Palmer player era. His career was okay, and, you know, needless to say, the highlight was winning the Masters. George Archer could not read or write. It was a huge secret that his family kept. He couldn't sign an autograph. He couldn't read a street sign. And his whole life, his wife and his children kept it on the down low. So no one would find out and embarrass the hell out of him. After he died in 2005, his wife started a golf tournament for literacy, so other children wouldn't feel the shame. Archer considered suicide often when he was 18, 19 years old because he couldn't function in society. So when he died, after the story could be told, his wife started a charity event, golf charity event, to promote literacy awareness. So
fantastic.
It's just a whole cornucopia of interesting stories of people. So the book is called Golfers Giving Back, and all my books have golf in the title, or almost all of them do. But really, Ted, this is not a golf book.
Right.
Golf is secondary. You know, they have golf tournaments, and anyone who reads the book can learn about these tournaments and go play in them if they want. And some of them are very big, you know, brass bell events with all sorts of bells and whistles, and others are not. But it's really a story about people, why they started events, what was their motivation, who inspired them. And it was really a lot of fun to write, and I'm already starting work on a sequel because there's a lot more events out there where the first 55 came from.
Now, do you, Joel, in your book, because obviously I don't have a copy yet, but do you, in your book, do you give specifics about if people are interested in communicating with those that are heading up the charity? Do you give that information as well if they want to contact the charity and get involved in the tournaments, that sort of thing? Is that also in the book or
Absolutely.
No?
Absolutely. It's as simple as this. Every chapter ends with one, two simple lines. For more information, visit www.georgearcherliteracy, or whatever the website
right.
is. Andy North and Friends. Okay, so the book is alphabetical from Andy North and Friends. This book, Ted, is light on marquee names. Not a lot of Michael Jordan,
right.
Mario Lemieux stuff. The first chapter is Andy North and Friends. Andy North is raising a lot of money for a cancer hospital in his hometown of Madison, Wisconsin.
Yep.
And he brings in all stars like almost no one else can bring. Pretty much every year, he's got Tom Watson, Robin Yount, Aaron Rodgers, Paul Molitor.
Wow.
And his ESPN guys, and his ESPN, you know, family. Mike Tirico, Scott Van Pelt, all come to his event. So it begins with the Andy North and Friends event and ends with something called Young Life. With Young Life is a Christian organization, and I found their mission to be interesting. So the book is alphabetical. Every chapter ends with the website of the tournament. If you want to find out more, donate or participate yourself.
Now, were any of these charity events, had you ever played in any of the events that you had written about, or no?
No. I've played in a few charity events over the years, like most golfers have. Let me give you a couple more statistics about the world of charity golf. I told you there's 140,000 tournaments nationwide every year.
Mm-hmm.
12 million golfers play in charity tournaments every year. Billions with a B, as in boy, as in billions, are raised every year for thousands and thousands of worthy causes. So I'll put it all in perspective for you. The PGA Tour, for a couple years ago, you'll probably remember, was advertising Drive to a Billion. They were trying to raise their billionth dollar through their pro-ams. Charity golf raises a billion dollars every year.
Yeah.
Just by the simple fact that there are so many thousands and tens of thousands of tournaments, even if they're only raising 10 grand, do the math. And of course, many tournaments raise $500,000 or $1 million a year. So, and Dave Stockton, I should add, wrote the foreword to my book.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Stockton, of course, a 2-time major champion and the Ryder Cup captain. Dave is a fan of the idea, and he's been a good friend to me. He said, I'm proud as could be of the fact that the PGA Tour has raised $1 billion, but it's a drop in the bucket compared to what the grassroots events nationwide raise on an annual basis. So it's a monolithic, it's a behemoth that so few people know anything about, the world of charity golf.
You know, it's interesting, Joel, because you mentioned earlier on, and not to get away from the book for a second, but, you know, you talked about Tiger Woods, and, you know, as big as he was coming on the scene, and you know, he had that reign for, as you said, 6-7 years, it really...
More than a dozen. Let's give him credit. It was 15 years, really, from 97 to 2010. 12, 13, 14 years.
Right. But but he had a certain, like the 6 or 7 years was when he was really dominant, is what I was getting at. But it's interesting because you raise an interesting point about that. And it's not. I love Tiger. I think he's a great young man in that. But what's interesting about this is there was a lot of revenue and a lot of dollars brought to the PGA because of him and his participation. But yet, as you indicated, it didn't really physically grow the game as much as you would think. And you're right. In fact, if anything, especially here lately, the numbers have gone down over the last few years, partially because of the recession, I'm sure. But a lot of it is just for other reasons. But it's interesting that somebody, as you said, is the number one athlete in the world for many, many years, and yet really doesn't significantly increase the number of people coming to the game. And it's that would be an interesting, you know, article really in itself.
Well, I do speak about that when I go out to do corporate gigs or speak to clubs or just trying to sell books. I talk about the reasons why golf has diminished dramatically in the last 15 years. I don't want to get into that right now, but there are a lot of reasons. If you couple quick ones, it's the changing culture has a lot to do with it. Young people today expect, I'm not going to say instant gratification, but gratification. And as we both know, playing competent golf ain't easy. It
That's
ain't
right.
easy. So difficulty, the difficulty of golf is one of the main things, and the other things are the time commitment. Nowadays, people, and I don't want to, you know, harp on this, but I'll just give you one salient point. People today, they do things in everything that we do, most of us, we do it in two and a half hours. You go to a party, you go to a movie, you go to a play, you go to a yoga class, you go to play tennis. It's 2 hours, 2 and a half, maybe 3 hours. Nobody's got 5 hours to go play golf. That's why the only growth area of golf these days is 9 whole rounds.
Yeah.
The only growth area of playing the game is 9 whole rounds because people can allocate the same amount of time for golf that they do to go to dinner or go to the movies or go to a play or go play tennis. So the game itself is shrinking. Tiger couldn't help it. Millennials, I don't know how old you are, but the 25 to 45-year-olds are not playing.
Right. I'm 50, going to be 52 next year, so that gives you an idea of the generation I'm in. But, you know, Joel,
We're the same generation.
Yeah. You know, Joel, just one quick last comment I want to make about that, and then we'll get back on the book here. You know, it was interesting that you talk about some of the things, and it just goes to show you that, you know, that those in the golf industry still don't understand what's happening to golf and the reasons why. Because I watched Morning Drive the other day, and I know you're familiar with that on the Golf Channel. And they were talking about some of the changes that are being proposed and implemented in some of the new USGA rules. And they were talking about with the handicap in particular. And they're talking about making modifications to the handicap system, hoping that this will be a way of getting people interested. And I thought, you know, that might help some, but it's not going to do what they're proposing. And I just think they're looking at the wrong areas of trying to grow this game in a lot of cases. And I'm not necessarily saying the Golf Channel, but that's some of the thing that the industry itself, I think, is focusing on the wrong areas. But that's a debate for another day. Joel, I want to ask you, getting back to the book here for a second, is there any tournaments in here as you got to sort of unravel and get, that were sort of maybe some favorites of yours, perchance, that you really sort of took to heart and say, yeah, I think this is great what they're doing? And obviously I know you mentioned a couple with Andy North and George Archer, of course, a very interesting backstory to it. But were there any other tournaments that really sort of caught your eye and you thought, wow, this is some great work here?
Oh, God. There are so many that have affected me from a personal standpoint. And I haven't met anyone. And as you can imagine, Ted, I'm getting invitations. Oh, please come. Please come to our event in 2016. We'd like you to be there to sign books. We'd like you to, you know, see what we do. I'll tell you two stories, and I'll keep them as brief as I can. Brevity is not my strong suit.
No, you can have as much time as you want, Joel.
So this harkens back. Oh, and let me tell anyone who's tuning in, You can get my new book at golfgiveback.com. GolfGiveBack. Golfgiveback.com. And the first 10 orders, I'm going to throw in a $60 pair of sunglasses along with the new book. It's kind of to celebrate the release of this new book. All right, so let me tell you two stories.
Sure.
You asked about how I got some of my ideas. So a couple years ago, I'm playing golf in Orlando. I left my wife and daughter behind, and I went to play at, I think it was the Waldorf Astoria Club, the only Waldorf Astoria golf club. I caught up to a guy on like the 10th hole. We played in together. He's a nice guy. He was telling me his 6-year-old daughter was in treatment, cancer treatment, and he just got away from the hospital. And he lives up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania or something. Anyway, I took a liking to the guy. I gave him a copy of Pros, my recent book that we talked about earlier. And we decided that we'd stay in touch. So when I was looking and looking at my network of people to find good tournaments for the book Golfers Giving Back, I sent him a note. I go, Walt, any good tournaments, charity tournaments you land, Allentown, PA? He goes, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. I play in an event memorializing a guy who died in 9/11. I go, yeah, what's that? He gave me the information. I called the family. I called up the parents. I said, I'm writing a book about charity golf tournaments. I hear you have a nice one. And they were taken aback that I had found them, that they were blown away that I had found them. So I got to learn about Bill Shugra, who passed, and his parents, Bill and Elle. So they're from Allentown, Pennsylvania. He's a plumber. She's a kindergarten teacher.
Right.
Elle never saw 1 minute, to this day, has never seen 1 minute of the footage of what happened on 9/11.
Mm.
And they were, needless to say, devastated. Their son, Billy, died right after his 30th birthday. He was in the North Tower. He was one of the 700 employees of Cantor Fitzgerald who died in the tower. And these people have been so grateful. They're so grateful, and they're so gracious to me, that I found their little homespun tournament that they raised money in honor of their son. Their son was apparently a very kind soul. He would buy homeless people coffee on his way to work. So the money they raised for the Bill Shugra Memorial goes to help homeless, those with mental challenges, those in senior centers, and they've raised a good amount of money in the last 12 years in Allentown, Pennsylvania, a small blue-collar town. These are blue-collar people.
Yep.
So the Bill Shugra Memorial is one of my favorite events in the book. It's not expensive to play in. It doesn't have the bells and whistles that a lot of the events, but that they really tugged at my heartstrings. And by the way, Ted, They are just receiving their books. They're getting all their books. They ordered, I think, 160 copies of the book for use at the tournament tomorrow. And I can only imagine the email that I'm going to get from Elle and Bill when they actually see the book and actually see their son, their lost son, memorialized in the pages of my new book. So I write books for a lot of reasons. I write them to make a living. I write them to tap into my creative streak. I write them because I don't have any other skills, apparently. It's the only thing I can really do. But I also write them for the satisfaction that people get from them. And no book of mine is ever going to provide the satisfaction that Golfers Giving Back is going to provide for those who lost their loved ones. And I was able to tell their loved one's story in a book that will last for years and years to come.
That's fantastic. Joel, before we go on, I'm going to ask you for a special request. I'm sure I could probably find it, but at some point, maybe after the show, if you get a chance, I know you're at a party right now, but I would love it if at some point, either after the show or maybe through the weekend, if you would send me, if you're willing to, the contact information for Bill's parents. I would like to reach out to them as well and maybe do something special here on the show one evening before their tournament comes up. And I'd like to get some information. So if that's okay with you, I would love for you to send that out, and I would like to reach out to them myself. I think that would
I'm very fond of them. I've never met them, and odds are I probably will never. I don't think I'm going to Allentown on August 23rd or whatever it is. But they've been so gracious to me, and they're so grateful to me. And not everything is like that, right? I've talked to Andy North a few times about his tournament, but it's different when you're doing a memorial tournament than when you're talking to a hospital administrator. You know, so my book is full of stories about military events and children's hospital. And those are great events, and the stories I tell are interesting. It's not the same as when you're talking about a memorial event.
Right.
So,
right.
If you want, let me tell you about another one of my favorite chapters. I'll tell you about the first chapter I wrote in this book. Because, you know, how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. So, so I'm looking back at this thing a year ago, last September, and I'm going, where am I going to start? And someone, a good friend of mine, told me about an event he played in, and I contacted these people. So let me tell you another story in my new book, if I could.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. This is, I don't have the same relationship, you know, telephone, email relationship like I do with Bill and El Shugra, but this story has really struck me. And this was the first chapter, literally the first chapter I wrote. In the new book, everyone who's listening, is Golfers Giving Back. You can order it at golfgiveback.com. And I'm happy to give away sunglasses to my first 10 purchasers, along with a copy of the new book. So, a little girl, her name was Lisa Beth Gerstmann, on her way to a summer camp outing at Hershey Park in Hershey, Pennsylvania, in 1970, which is what? 45 years ago. Bus tumbles over an embankment, and 11 campers die.
Wow.
1970. She was 11 years old. The family was grief-stricken, needless to say, devastated, needless to say, put their head down, went to work, went about their lives. In 2002, 32 years after she died, after she passed, the family started a foundation. They finally had the money. They finally had the wherewithal to start a foundation in her name. And the Lisa Beth Gerstmann Foundation raises money for disabled and differently abled children to attend summer camp in the New York area. And that story blew me away to think about the Gerstmann family of New York, the parents and the brothers working for decades until they finally felt that they could honor their daughter, their lost daughter and sister, with a charity foundation. One of the major components, of course, is their golf tournament. And they raise money so kids in wheelchairs or kids who are deaf or are blind can go to summer camp. And that, as you can tell by me telling you the story, is another one of the very powerful chapters in my new book.
You know, it's interesting when you think about all of the different families out there that have, as you mentioned, that have lost somebody, whether it's in one of the Twin Towers on 9/11, or as the Gerstmann family, as you mentioned, lost their little girl in an accident. There are so many stories out there, and it's just amazing how a game like golf is able to utilize itself, if you will, and give back. Obviously, they can never get these loved ones back, but they're able to use these different charity events in order to raise money to help. And what's interesting, it's not to further memorialize the individual, but rather to give back to others that may have either suffered through a similar issue, or maybe suffering through it could be a disease or what have you, whatever the case may be. It's amazing how much people have used these tournaments to give back to others who may be suffering as well or have been in a similar journey. So it's a great testament, if you will, not only to the golf industry in general, but to the game itself and to the families out there. As you said, the 140,000 tournaments in a single year, every year, is just a real testament to what this game has done for people.
You're 100% right, and I think the motivation for we'll talk about the two families we've talked about, the Shugras mm-hmm. of Allentown and the Gerstmann family of Long Island. They supported this project. Well, the project came secondly. They wanted to raise money to keep their loved one's name alive. They
sure.
want people to know Lisa Beth Gerstmann was a loving child who died at age 11 doing what she
yeah.
loved best, attending summer camp. The
right.
Shugras wanted to keep the name of their 30-year-old son just getting going in his career, a loving,
yeah.
generous man. They wanted to raise money. And when I was fortunate enough to contact them, because I played golf with a guy in Orlando to meet the Shugras, and because a buddy of mine on Long Island played in the Gerstmann event, when I called them and told them about my book, they realized that their loved one could live in the pages of the book, that their photographs,
right.
there's a photo of Bill Shugra in the book, there's a photo, a 1970 era photo of Lisa Beth Gerstmann, age 11, in my new book. And the Gerstmann
wow.
family, the Shugra family, they are going to take, I get a little choked up just thinking about it.
Sure.
When they open this book for the first time, the Shugras are getting their books tomorrow. I haven't
right.
mailed out the Gerstmann books yet. I will later this month. When they open the book, when Beth Gerstmann's father and brother open the book for the first time, and I can promise you, the first chapter they're going to is their own. They're not
sure.
starting at page one. They're not starting at the Andy Norton chapter
no.
on page one.
No, of course
they
not.
They're rifling to the Lisa Beth chapter or the Bill Shugra chapter. They are going to feel something. They're going to feel a sense of relief or emotion or pride or sorrow. So, been a wonderful project. I hope to repeat it. I swear, Ted, I could do
yeah.
a book just of memorial events because, so we've talked about two young people, 130, 111, who died in accidents. But as you
right.
can imagine, there are young people in my book, young mostly, who died of disease. And I don't want to sound maudlin, like the book is just one big downer. It's not.
No.
It's uplifting, but for me, the writing of it, when I talk about these memorial events are the most poignant, the most powerful, and the most interesting to read about. But, as I said, there are chapters on battered women's shelters. There are.
Right.
I'll tell you. If you have time, I'll tell you about
sure.
an amazing event in California, a military event. Okay. So the highest military honor in the nation is called the Medal of Honor.
Right.
Higher than the Purple Heart, higher than the Silver Star. There are less Medal of Honor recipients since the Civil War than there are people who have been on the top of Mount Everest. Okay? More people have been on the top of Mount Everest than have received Medal of Honors. One of the events in my book, which unfortunately happens to be in the San Bernardino area, talking about topical
wow.
subject, features half a dozen or sometimes a dozen living Medal of Honor recipients. They are there to meet and greet the players, and they're raising money for the Medal of Honor Foundation, which is a foundation that raises scholarship money for Medal of Honor children and grandchildren. And the organizers tell me it wouldn't matter if Justin Bieber or Tom Hanks or Tiger Woods or LeBron James were there.
Right.
Everyone takes a back seat to the Medal of Honor recipients at this event.
Wow.
Everyone, they're like rock stars. Because there are so few of them, right? There aren't
right, exactly.
that many, and they're dying.
Yeah.
So that's one of the very cool events in my new book, is the Stater Brothers Medal of Honor tournament in Southern California.
Hmm. That's fantastic.
So,
you know, and
yeah, it's really go on.
You know, what I was going to say to you is now you talked about that you are maybe going to have a continuation, maybe part two, if you will, of this. What's your approach
yes.
going to be with your second book?
Well, once again, I am starting to gather resources. I'm hoping my best avenue, well, I will say to all of your listeners, if you know of a charity golf tournament that you think is worthy of inclusion and volume two of Golfers Giving Back, drop me a line. Just go to the website. I'm not going to give you my main website because it's a little bit more complicated. It's not easy to remember or write down. Go to golfgiveback.com, GolfGiveBack, golfgiveback.com, and you can click on, you know, contact and drop me a line. Send me an email with any suggestions you have. Another avenue I have to gather good events is the dust jacket of the new book. The back dust jacket has a picture of me, and instead of an author bio, it says, if you know of any events worthy of inclusion in Volume 2, shoot me a note. And it has my email address there. Because we pre-sold 10,000 copies of this book, which is
wow.
a huge number of hardcover golf books. And as the book is distributed, okay, so we're talking about the Sugars, Bill and Elle Sugar. They're going to get their books tomorrow. And if I don't get an email from them over the weekend, I'll be shocked, because that's
yeah.
how they are. They're so grateful. So Bill and Elle are going to see the book, right? But
mm-hmm.
their 160 players are not going to see the book until next August, right? So
right.
I'm hoping as the book gets disseminated nationwide over the course of 2016, people will open it, see what I'm doing, and these 10,000 people, if 1% of the people who open the book see what I'm asking for and know of a good charity event, that would be 100 good leads, right? 1%
right,
exactly. of 10,000 books is 100.
Right.
So that's one of the ways I'm hoping to gather. Told you he wrote the foreword. Dave is seeing the book for the first time very soon. I'm so appreciative of you having me on, because the book is literally brand new. Dave has not seen a copy yet. When he sees it, he will probably recommend me to one of his friends, one of his big friends, whether it's, who knows, Nicholas or Palmer or Player or Watson, and maybe Watson or Nicholas or Player will help me gather
right.
events that they're involved with. You know, in my new book, Dave Stockton is affiliated with, you know, 4, 5, 6 charity events, and those events are in the new book. So maybe he'll pass me along to one of his colleagues, one of his contemporaries, and they will help guide this into the next stage. So
you realize
there's a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah, you realize you might be writing several volumes of this book. If there's 140,000 tournaments nationwide, you could be doing this for a while.
Yeah. Someone said, I think it should at least be a trilogy. So I said,
yeah.
let's not get started on the third one until I get the second one off the ground. So
yeah.
We'll see how it goes. I'm confident I can write a second book, because I got the first one off the ground by selling all of these tournaments on the idea. I have an
right.
idea for a book. Now, do I have a reputation? Do I have a track record? Yes, I do. But I'm still
right.
selling an idea out of thin air. Now
right.
people for Volume 2 can hold, look, read, turn the pages of the original book and say, oh, I get it. I see what he did. Yes, we should be in this book. And the reason, Ted, that the book has proven to be successful, it's already proven to be successful because we pre-sold the whole order, right? 10,000, other than a
yep.
couple hundred I have for sale, which is why I keep giving your listeners my website,
yep.
golfgiveback.com, is very, very simple. when I talked to it, so we talked about Bill Shugra. We talked about Lisa Beth Gerstmann. Their families are thrilled to have their loved one remembered in the pages of this book.
Mm-hmm.
But in the bigger picture, when you go to a charity golf tournament, you have a, you get a tee gift, okay? Or several tee gifts. What are the tee gifts? They're usually a shirt or a
right.
hat or a sleeve of balls or a dozen balls, which is great. The reason I was able to sell 10,000 books like this was because when I would speak to, let's talk about the Andy North. We talked about him briefly, right?
Right.
Or the Medal of Honor recipients, that event. When I spoke to the powers that be, I said, the only people who know about your event are the people there in Southern California who are playing in the Medal of Honor event, or the people in Madison, Wisconsin, who are playing in the Andy North event. And you
right.
have your Andy North shirts, and people wear them, their shirts or wear their hats around Madison. That's great. But if you want the Andy North and Friends event to be known in a wider way, let me put your chapter in this book, and people playing in the Battered Women's Shelter event in Houston, or the Parkinson disease event in Philadelphia, or the Lisa Beth Gerstmann event in Long Island will read about your event. And maybe they have relatives in Wisconsin. Maybe they have a military background and want to take part in the Medal of Honor event. So there's
right.
all this cross-pollination nationwide, where people in California, and who plays in charity golf events, relatively well-to-do,
yep.
philanthropic golfers, right?
Yep.
So if you're playing at a battered women's shelter event in Houston and you read about a Parkinson event in Philadelphia, you might want to get involved. If you're playing in a event for intellectually challenged people in Boston and you're reading about a military event in Southern California, you might want to send a check for $50. Maybe you'll tell
yep.
your cousin who lives in that town, you should go play and check out that event. So that's how I was able to market this book and pre-sell 10,000 copies, because all of these tournament directors understood that I could provide them an audience way beyond a shirt, a hat, or a dozen Pro Vs.
Yeah, and you know, you hit it on the head right in the very beginning in the opening part of the segment, is you talked about networking, and that's really what it's all about. You know, that's when you network like that, you're giving these individuals and families that are running these different tournaments, the directors and so forth, an opportunity to share, in a sense, their story with a much bigger audience than what they potentially. Now, obviously, some of the bigger tournaments might have national exposure already, but the majority of them don't. And as you said, it's a grassroots movement. And once, as you said, somebody up in Boston that hears about maybe something out in California, there's a strong likelihood that somewhere down the chain, if you will, that they will reach out, or somebody that they know may want to get involved with that. So it's a fantastic idea, and you definitely sold the book well, and that's why you were able to,
yeah.
as you say, pre-sell the 10,000. That's a phenomenal.
Yeah, you're right. And the fact of the matter is, let's face it, it's a very esoteric. There's no more bookstores in the world. There's no more bookstores in the world. And if
right.
there were bookstores, not a lot of people are going to look at this and go, wow, I got to get this for Uncle Ed, you know?
Yeah.
I'm taking the time on your show to tell your listeners how fascinating so many of these stories are, and I hope that they want a book for themselves or as a very unique gift for a loved one. So please, you know, take a look at golfgiveback.com and see for yourself. And as I said a few minutes ago, if you have any ideas for charity tournaments that you play in or are aware of or run, let me know, because I'm gathering my resources to write the sequel. So there's a lot of things just that we could talk about. Just go to golfgiveback.com.
And gets all the information there. Fantastic. Joel, I want to thank you for coming on the show again. I enjoyed very much the conversation. One more time, would you give the information out that you're offering this evening on the book? And I'll make
yes.
sure that I get it up on my social media through the weekend.
Fantastic. So for those of you who want to read a very unusual book, and I can say this with 100% confidence, there's been thousands of golf books published in the last 100 years, a public library's worth of golf books. There has never been a book like this focusing on charity golf. Go to Golf Give Back, GolfGiveBack, golfgiveback.com. The first 10 listeners who purchase the book, I'm going to throw in a $60 pair of sunglasses with the book. And if you have any ideas for charity tournament that I should include in the sequel, you can contact me at the website also. And it's a pleasure being here, Ted. I appreciate the invitation.
Not a problem, Joel. Thank you for coming on the show, as I said. And please feel free anytime to reach out to me, especially when Volume 2 comes out. Let me know when Volume 2 comes out, and I'll be more than happy to let you come on and talk about that as well, and we can share some more great stories and backstories of some of the great tournaments and some of the many ways that golf gives back through charities. Again, Joel, thank you very much for doing what you do. Continue the hard work. And again, for those of you that are just tuning in here at the outset, go to golfgiveback.com. That's GolfGiveBack.com. And as Joel mentioned, for the first 10 listeners that purchased the book this evening, they are going to get a $60 pair of sunglasses as a gift for doing so. Certainly a great idea, a great Christmas gift, as we're just leading up to here a few weeks away. It's hard to believe we're coming up to the holidays that quick. You know, here we are the 3rd of December, so 22 shopping days left. But anyways, this is a great gift. I'm all about, you know, giving back as well. And Joel, thank you for sharing this. And I'll get this information up on through my social media for you as well. But thank you for coming on tonight and sharing your story with us about your new book. And sharing some of the backstories as well. And good luck with it. I know it's going to do well. And like I said, when your next book comes out, make sure you reach out here as well.
I appreciate it, Ted. We'll be in touch, you and I, via email, and we'll talk again soon. And thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. Have a great evening, Joel, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. That was my very special guest, journalist, speaker, and author, Joel Zuckerman, who was here this evening really talking about his new book, Golfers Giving Back. And it is really a great book. And as you mentioned, for those of you that are listening to the program, if you want to purchase that book, you can go on online to golfgiveback.com. And for the first 10 people that purchase, he's going to throw in a $60 pair of sunglasses, which we can all use out on the golf course to help navigate around. And I think he said the book, if I'm not mistaken, was $31.95, so it's a good deal. You're getting almost $100 worth of value for really a third of the price. So go to golfgiveback.com and get a copy of Joel's new book, and I guarantee you won't be disappointed, and it sounds like a fantastic read, and it's Golfers Giving Back, Exceptional Charity Tournaments Coast to Coast. And as he mentioned earlier, he's written about 55 different tournaments so far, and he's already got requests to do a second book, so we'll look forward to that as well. And also, while you're there, as he mentioned, there's a way that you can contact him through that site. If you've got maybe a tournament that's in your area that you'd like to be considered for his second book, you can reach out through Joel's website there as well, golfgiveback.com. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for joining me this evening and for tuning into the broadcast. As I mentioned, we're going to cut a little bit short, just a few weeks here left until we come to the end of the season. And we're going to wind out with two more shows each, two for the women of golf, one next week and the week following, and conversely, the week next week and the week following for Golf Talk Live. So four more shows this year, two of each, the Women of Golf show with co-host Cindy Miller and myself on Tuesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Central Time, and of course Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Time, or 7 to 9 for those of you on the East Coast. Next week and the week after, we will have Coach's Corner coming back to finish out the season. We're going to do something a little bit different with both of those shows as we wind out the season, and then I've got a couple of more great guests as well And then I'll have my very special Christmas message, if you will, on the last show of the year, which is, I believe, December 17th. So make sure you tune back for that. I want to take this opportunity once again to thank my special guest, author, journalist, and speaker, Mr. Joel Zuckerman. And thank you, Joel, for coming on the program. I enjoyed it. I'd like to take also this opportunity to thank all of my listeners worldwide for faithfully tuning into Golf Talk Live each and every week. I enjoy and get a tremendous amount of pleasure and enjoyment of having a number of highly talented coaches, teacher professionals, authors, and entrepreneurs stop by. And it's really, in all fairness, it's through their participation, guest appearances, that help make Golf Talk Live a first-class show. And I want to also give a special thanks to some of the sponsors and supporters of the program, Mr. Jonathan Laird, of South Coast Golf Guide. You've heard me talk about Jonathan many times. Great publication here in the southeastern part of the United States with some great courses in there. If you're planning on a trip down here, and that's anywhere from really Texas all the way through here to Florida and all states in between here in the southeast. If you want to get a copy, go to southcoastgolfguide.com and you can request a copy, or you can wait till you get down here. And go to pretty much anywhere. I think Edwin Watts carries them. Most of the, a lot of the courses, the main resort course, particularly in the area, carry a copy there. And I know here in Panama City Beach, Florida, they're at a couple of, a lot of the different courses here in the area. But it gives you all the information there, how to get in touch with the course, if you want to book tee times and that sort of thing, and some other goodies in there, some great stories as well. So if you're interested, as I said, reach out on the website to southcoastgolfguide.com. And if you're interested in advertising in the guide and you want to get in front of literally tens of thousands of golfers and interested followers of the guide, and you want to get in there and get your name or brand in front of them or your business name, you can reach out to Jonathan@southcoastgolfguide.com. That's his email. So make sure you do that. And also, I want a special thank you to Meredith Kirk, Meredith Kirk Golf, and also MeredithKirk.com is her website. And she was, of course, the 2014 Miss of South Carolina winner, and she went on the following year to attempt for Mrs. USA. Didn't make it, of course, to win that title, but certainly finished very well. And she's been on the show a couple of times and does a lot of great work with junior golfers, great teacher professional, as well as just a great young lady in general. Mr. Nikki Litherland, and of course his wife Tiffany, thank you for helping to spread the word. My good buddies from Down Under, from Australia, who now reside here, of course, in the United States, in around Maryland, I believe. Thank you for all of your continued support. Nikki, of course, is a great golf professional himself. And, of course, his lovely wife, Tiffany. Thank you for all of your continued support in helping to spread the word. And also, my good friend, Mr. Bernie Pinder from Ontic Golf. OnticGolf.com is his website. And we're going to be doing some great work together with that group in the new year here on Golf Talk Live. And Ontic Golf are forming a good relationship. And we're going to be doing some exciting things here in 2016. So stay tuned for that. But thank you, Mr. Bernie Pinder, for all of your continued support. Mr. Sean Kelly, of course, the owner of LinkedGolfers.com. He is the, I guess, the manager, if you will, of Linked Golfers Golf Group on LinkedIn, of course, which is a major business networking website, who many of you, of course, are familiar with. Sean Kelly is the manager or proprietor, if you will, or owner of that particular group. And he's been running that very successfully, and he's now taken that group as well outside of the LinkedIn format or LinkedIn family, and has developed LinkedGolfers.com, a great way for golf professionals and golf like-minded business people from all over the world to connect together on LinkedGolfers.com. So make sure you check that out as well. And thank you, Sean, for all of your continued support. And finally, of course, Mr. Peter Doyle from Doyle Golf Solutions over in Ireland, who is also a good friend of Mr. Bernie Pinder's, as I mentioned a few moments ago. Thank you, Peter, for all of your continued support, and I look forward to working with you as well more in the future, particularly next year. Thank you for all of your continued support and following the program. Again, thank you all for tuning in. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving last week, as I know I did. It's great to be back on the air. Enjoy doing what I do here, and we'll continue to do so with all of your love and support. Remember to follow me on Facebook. It's Ted Odorico, O-D-O-R-I-C-O. And if you haven't done so already, you're welcome to connect with me there. Just send me a friend request, and I'm more than happy to accept. And remember, we are live every Thursday morning or Thursday evening, excuse me, on blogtalkradio.com from 6 to 8 p.m. Central is our normal time slot. And I'll be back here next Thursday, of course. And it is live. And if you're not able to join us live, go to blogtalkradio.com and type in Golf Talk Live and the search key up top, and that will bring you to the main page. And if you weren't able to tune in live this evening, not a problem. Just scroll down to the on-demand section, and the recorded version will be available for not only tonight's show, but all of the previously aired shows. So if you've missed any of the shows, feel free to go back and listen to them at your convenience, and that'll give you something to do over the Christmas holidays when you're bored and don't have anything to do. You can listen to Golf Talk Live, some of the archived shows. Lots of great stuff in there. You've got lots of great and exciting things planned for next year as well. In 2016, so make sure you continue to follow through, and I'll give you updates, of course, on social media. On Facebook, go to Golf Talk Live blog, type that in the search key, and while you're there, if you haven't done so, I'd appreciate if you like the page, and I'll keep updates on there. And you're welcome to contact me personally through my email at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com if you have any comments or questions about the show, or if you're in the golf profession. You don't have to be a teacher or instructor. You can be somebody that works actively in another area of the golf industry. Maybe you'd like to come on, or maybe you are running a golf charity, as we discussed tonight with Joel, and maybe you'd like to reach out to my fan base here through Golf Talk Live and my audience. But more than happy to accommodate you and have you on the program. So you can reach out to me at ted.golftalklive@gmail.com. And I guess I will see you all next Thursday at 6 p.m. Central right here on Golf Talk Live. God bless everybody and have a great week.